Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
Every day, I'm in deep prayer and intercession for you. Every day, Jan and I are crying out to Jesus that He will touch your heart and cause you to respond to this gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that now is the time to get clean, to repent, and to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. The power of God is beginning to be poured out in a new way for your salvation. Last night, Jesus gave me a dream. I want to share it with you. In my dream, my wife Jan and I were looking at a beautiful woodland. We both said, "Let's go walk under the trees." And as we began to enter in under the overhanging trees, the ground was covered with manure. It was so thick that it was impossible to walk any further without stepping in this filthy uncleanness. I said to Jan, "What is this? Where did all this manure come from?" A clear voice answered, "It came from the furrows." Now, I didn't know what a furrow was. I didn't think I'd ever heard that word before. But then I heard a commotion, and as we looked, there were many people, including families with little children, all walking under the trees in the manure, as though they had no concern. They were running and playing. They were laughing. They were having a good time. We both looked with amazement to see what held their attention. It was a large number of wild pigs. They looked cute and adorable, as only a pig can look. Some of the pigs were pink, others were purple. They had large floppy ears. They were very friendly and squealing, playing with the children. But Mom and Dad, they were right in there with the children. They were all covered with manure as they played with and petted these pigs. Jan and I were horrified by the scene before us. Then we saw what looked like large worm-like snakes in the manure. The voice said to us, "The worms are infesting all the farms and the homes. They'll devour all the crops. These people will have only these pigs to eat. And soon they will be in complete famine." I asked, "Can't we go to the farms? Can't we go to the homes and get boiling hot water? If we pour this boiling hot water on the worms, won't it kill them? Can't we wash away all this filth?" The voice answered, "It's the pigs that must be destroyed." I've thought about this dream. I cried out to the Lord. All day I've been praying and seeking the face of God. I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture. It's found in Romans, the 6th chapter. Let me read this for you. I'll begin in verse 19. "I put this in human terms because you're weak in your natural selves." This dream that God gave me last night was in human terms. It's simple because there's a weakness that we're having in our natural selves. Let me try to talk about this. Today, there are many things that are firmly believed in the Christian church that are utterly false. There has been woven by the demonic powers a very carefully done seduction. This seduction, this deceiving lie that has been woven so carefully around God's people, says that we can continue to walk in sin and we're saved. A brother just called me, a man I've been ministering to for a number of years in another city. He called and he said to me, "Pastor, I'm not clean yet. I'm not perfect." I knew what he meant. He meant, I've gone back to the drugs. I've gone back to the alcohol. I've gone back to bitterness. I've gone back to anger with my wife. I know what he means when he says that because we've sat and prayed together so many times. He's been unwilling to utterly renounce the pigs that he goes and pets. He wants his money. He wants his television. He wants his sports. He wants his drugs. He wants his alcohol. He wants his lifestyle. And yet in his heart, he has a tenderness for Jesus. And he defends all of these actions by saying, "I'm not yet clean. I'm not perfect. I know there are things in my life that aren't right, but Pastor, I'm doing the best I can do." Do you know nowhere in Scripture are we enjoined to do the best we can do? Instead, we're told to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. We're told to deny ourselves. We're told that we must die that crucified life. But this man who calls himself a Christian is so typical of the many people that we saw in this dream, with their little children, playing in the manure of the devil, playing in every kind of wickedness. To some degree, some have cleaned up a little bit, but you see, today in the body of Christ, we've adopted some Buddhist beliefs. You're never angry for the reason you think you're angry, from the Course in Miracles, or we've adopted the yin and the yang out of the Chinese philosophy. We've adopted the karma. We have a little Hindu theology mixed in, and we have a little bit of Buddhist theology and a little bit of Muslim theology and a little bit of Christian theology, and we mix it all together and we come up with this mess that lets us continue to be in charge of our lives. I even talked with a person who said, "I'm spirit-filled. I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit." "Are you walking clean before God?" "Well, almost. No, I'm not really clean before God yet, but I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, so I'm all right." One large church in Springfield, Virginia, a Bible church, their board actually took a decision, a formal decision, that as new converts come into their church and receive Jesus as their Savior, they will not address the question of the Lordship of Jesus. Instead, they will wait until a later date when the person is more settled in their understanding that they are saved and cannot be lost, and then they'll begin gently to introduce to them the concept of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This church is walking in utter deception. They love Jesus. They're tender in their heart toward Jesus. But they're teaching people a doctrine of demons. They're not teaching the word of the living God. They're teaching their own wicked theology. Now, I don't say that to condemn anyone. Please hear what I'm saying. We can't play with the pigs. We can't get the manure all over us. The worms, the snakes of the devil are in amongst us. They are eating up all that is left of godliness in our lives. They are stripping us of every vestige in America of godliness and of holiness. And the name of Christ is being cast down on every hand. People are ashamed today of the name of Jesus. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about the blood. All Jesus wants to talk about throughout all of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is sin and how you can be redeemed from that sin, how you can be utterly set free, how you can be washed and cleansed, how you can be made whole once more. But as long as we want these pigs, and this word feral, very interesting. It means something that was domesticated and then got loose and now runs in the wild. And I understand this dream to be saying that many today have had domesticated pigs in their lives. They've said, I'll just have a little of the gambling. I'll just have a little of the bitterness. I'll just have a little of the self-righteousness. I'll just have a little bit of adultery or fornication. I'll have a little bit of pornography. Thank you very much. But I have it under control. It's in my corral, and I know I can handle it. And then that thing gets loose, and you begin to chase after it. You begin to chase after that illicit relationship. You begin to chase after that gambling. You begin to chase after the sports and all of the pleasures of the world. You begin to pursue after these pigs. And they're pink and they're purple and they're attractive and they're, oh, what's wrong with Disney World? Well, that it's just simply a lie. It's all make-believe. It's not truth. The scripture says the truth shall set you free, not a lie. The scriptures tell us that everything that is not of God is unclean. It is of the demonic realm. Today, do you sense the call of God on your life? Is there a part of your heart that is crying out to God and saying, oh God, would you deliver me from these pigs? Would you release me from this bondage? Would you wash me and make me clean? The promise of God is that he would open a fountain of blood by which you could be washed and made clean, by which the power of sin in your life could be utterly broken, and you can be filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can be made into a new creature that no longer walks in the manure and no longer is facing this famine. Many of you today are facing famine. You know the money is going to run out. You know the retirement will probably not be there. You know that the economy is crashing. Everything that we have known as America is coming down in one great heap of rubble. Nations are angry. We are going to be attacked. Cities in America, whole cities are going to be destroyed. We are going to see storms and earthquakes. We are going to see all manner of things happen. You need to be hidden in the cleft of the rock in Jesus Christ. You need to be washed and made clean. You can no longer take time to go to a church and listen to the entertaining rock and roll music. You can no longer afford to go and smile and pat everybody on the back and have a sentimental religion, a sentimental experience where your heart is warmed, but your feet walk in manure, where your feet walk in wickedness. This must stop. Judgment is upon us. Judgment from the Lord God of heaven is upon America. We are facing utter destruction. And this word that the Apostle Paul is speaking to us in the sixth chapter, he's saying, you're weak in your natural selves. He makes it very plain what he's trying to say to us. He says, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity, that is, just as you used to offer your body in slavery to the pigs, to walk in the manure, to ever-increasing wickedness. So now, offer them in slavery to righteousness. That word righteous comes from the root of dikaiosune in the Greek. It's such a wonderful word. In some places in your Bible, it's translated justified or justification. But the actual root word literally means to be made righteous. And in this passage of Scripture, he's saying, offer yourselves in slavery to be made utterly righteous. Now, another meaning of this word righteousness is complete innocence. Complete innocence. Now, some of you are saying, but how can I stop sinning? I'm going to always make mistakes. I'm immature. I'm struggling. Well, please understand, the biblical definition of sin as given in the New Testament is not missing the mark, harmatia in the Greek. The definition given in the New Testament for sin is rebellion against God, volitional or voluntary rebellion against the Most High, against Jesus, against the Holy Spirit. If you're not walking in rebellion against God, if you're not walking in rebellion against the promptings of the Holy Spirit, then you're walking free of sin. But if you're walking in rebellion and self-will, if you're walking in your soul power, you're lusting after the money, you're lusting after your security, you're trying to cover your deal, you're using all of your energy to just try to hold it together, then you're walking in your flesh, and you're walking in rebellion against the Most High God. You're walking in rebellion against Jesus. The call of Jesus is always the same. Instead of offering parts of your body in slavery to impurity, to rebellion, to anger, to bitterness, to uncleanness, instead of offering your body in slavery to these things, renounce them and now choose to enter into a place with Jesus where you say to him, I choose to be innocent before you, Jesus. I'm asking you to wash me by your blood. You see, it's not a question of will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's not the question. The question is, will Jesus receive you? Will you humble your heart? Will you deny yourself this lust for the pig manure, the lust for the impurity, the lust for the television, the lust for the music of the world? Will you deny yourself for those things that sear your mind and make it impossible for you to hear the voice of the living God? Will you deny yourself of all of that wickedness, to ever-increasing wickedness? Will you deny all of that? Will you take up your cross? And will you follow Jesus? Now, you know where Jesus was going when he said to his disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He was going to Golgotha. There is a death there of the flesh man. We're going to get into this in great detail in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans in coming days. But there must be an absolute death of the old man. This is the antique anthropos that we have spoken of, the old man of sin, that must be utterly put to death. It's not your soul that must be put to death. It's not your personality. God made you with a sense of humor, but he wants to make it a holy humor. God made you with a sense of duty and responsibility. He wants to make that a holy duty, a holy responsibility. Everything that's in your soul, he wants to wash and cleanse and purify, and he wants to remove from you this old man of sin, this impurity, this pig manure, this lusting after darkness. He wants to change this in you so that you no longer have a taste for the movies. You no longer have a taste for the sporting activities, the dinner dances, and all the theater. You no longer have a taste for the tobacco and the alcohol. You no longer have a taste for the wickedness of bitterness of heart and anger and judgmentalness of heart. The Lord Jesus wants to take that. He wants to break its power by the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. He wants to make you into a new creature, and he wants you now to offer yourselves, the members of your body, your hands, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your ears. He wants you to offer this to be a slave of innocence, of righteousness. And as you begin to make those decisions, you make the decision you're not going to continue to walk with that worldly church, even though it has all of your friendship. Instead, you're going to come and walk with a holy people. as you begin to make decisions, you're going to turn aside from that television. You're going to turn aside from those novels. As you turn away from these things, as you turn to righteousness, you find a path that begins to open before you. And in Scripture, that path is called the highway of holiness. Now, the word holiness, or hagios, means to be utterly set apart for a special purpose. God wants to set your life apart for a special purpose, and that special purpose is to belong to Jesus Christ as His bride, to be set apart for fellowship with Jesus Christ, to belong to Jesus, to be filled with Jesus. This is all about Jesus. He wants to set you apart as a fisher of men who will begin to speak words of love and kindness and mercy to others, who will speak in a manner that rebukes their wickedness and brings their insanity out so that it can no longer dominate them, and instead their hearts can be replaced with a clean heart, with a new mind, that they can be made sane. This is what God wants to do in your heart. He wants to make you holy. And so this road to righteousness leads you to the path, or to the road, of holiness. You see, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of innocence or righteousness. And so you became covered with pig manure. And Paul asks in verse 21, "What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of?" Oh, when you come to Jesus Christ and you begin to get cleaned up, you're ashamed of that old life, because you know that those old things, those pink and purple pigs, they take you to death. Those worms that I saw in my dream, they consume all of what is holy and good that remains in your life, and ever-increasing wickedness rules over you, and Paul is saying the result is death. Then look at Romans 6:22. "But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness," or leads to hagios, the road to holiness, "and the result is eternal life." There is only one road that will take you to eternal life, and that is the road of holiness. If you are not holy, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God by receiving Jesus as your Savior, because then you're receiving a fictional Savior. The real Savior says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Turn aside from the wickedness, leave it behind you. By the power of the blood, you can do that." Jesus said that He would put enmity between thee and the woman, that is, between the followers of Jesus and the devil. Even those who are not followers of Jesus, He said, would have a little space that they could turn in, that they could turn to Jesus. You have a little space right now. And in that space, according to Genesis 3:15, you can now turn to Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is calling you. Do you hear Him call you? Will you make whatever sacrifice is necessary? Will you be aroused in your spirit, and will you leave the pigs behind you? Will you leave the beautiful woodland covered with pig manure behind you? Will you renounce these serpents, these snakes, these worms that come and devour holiness? Will you turn to the living God of heaven, and will you cry out to Him that you might be made holy? The only thing you can reap from wickedness is death. And Paul says that when you've been set free from sin, you become slaves to God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. And then he says, "For the wages of sin is death." And some of you think that Jesus paid for your sin on the cross, and now you continue to walk in sin, and you honestly believe the preachers who lied to you and said that all your sins were forgiven, your past, your present, and your future sins were all forgiven, and God has unconditional love for you, that is simply a lie. I challenge you to look in the Scriptures. You will not find one passage of Scripture that would teach this lie. If you'll read that passage in the context in which it was written and not try to isolate and twist its nose, the Holy Spirit will make plain to you that the wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter if you claim to be under the blood of Jesus, if you're still walking in sin, you are going to die. If you're walking in rebellion against the Most High, if you're walking in voluntary sin against God, you will die. You will not enter into the kingdom of God, even though you claim you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. A sinner's prayer is never in Scripture what saves a person. What saves a person is when they deny themselves, they take up their cross, they follow Jesus to Golgotha, they die, they repent, they are born again, they come into the Spirit, and they walk in innocence before God. Now it is true, according to 1 John, according to the book of Galatians, that sometimes we who follow Jesus Christ and are born again will be tempted by sin, and on some occasions will fall. But when we fall, the promise is if we will confess our sin, He will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Never does Jesus forgive us for our sins without also breaking the power of that sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. The Lord God of heaven wants today to make you clean. He says in verse 23, "The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus."
I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and His holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. That number again, 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience His joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.